40 and three citizens' arrest is $8.
Solomon, a lot of people query why I always make the best bet the last race, and it's not by design, so I see where you're coming from with the close off after the good thing. But look, this is close to a good thing too, Moonshine Lady. 10, 1, 3 and 5. Last meeting I did here before I went away, I know it was a heavy, but this one by 7 lengths, and both the highway runs at 11 and 12 are both being pretty handy. She's got gate 1 on her home track. She ticks every box, so little wonder she's a dominant favourite. Look, I think Golly I'm Lucky will produce some good opposition here. Was very good chasing Virgilio back on the 3rd of August, and we saw what he came out and did his next run, Virgilio. So with the strength around that form, it's got a good little record too. So again, well drawn. Three Citizens Arrest has to go on the tip somewhere. She's fabulous here at Nowra, got the best track stats of the whole day. And back to 1,200 metres is probably going to suit her. Her last couple have been at 14, well, last four have been at 1,400 metres, but with a fast run race, she's got a good turn of foot, whether it's wet or dry. She's got to be in the exotics at least for sure. And fast strike third up from a spell is a good chance for the exotics to boot, but they'll be chasing this pretty hard, Moonshine Lady. 10, 1, 3 and 5, Simon.
So 10, 1, 3, 5 there in the last, and recapping your best, came up in race 6 and at $9, number 8, 2 C's.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit of value, Simon, on a race where, on a day where we've got a couple of shorties and some really competitive fields. I thought at $9 you'll get a really good run for your money with 2 C's. So we'll make it race 6, horse number 8, 2 C's, and I'll be in the yard with all the winners throughout the day. Simon?
Thank you, John. There he is, John Scores, for the look at Nowra. Now it's 28 minutes to 11.
Get the Menangle Mail, Tuesday afternoons.
And time for Pacing Rewind on this Sunday, the 25th of August. Fred Hastings, good morning.
Good morning to you, Simon.
Okay, Freddie, how was Tabcorp Park Menangle last night? There was a Group 3 free-for-all on the card?
Yeah, we had a pretty good card. I think one of the interesting wins of the night was Lombo Coda Kinabalu in an early race. It was able to bounce back to winning form and produced a win for Team Tritton. Another interesting race was the Colts and Geldings three-year-old final. Terrific performance. I think it's going to be a form race, this. Where You Been Boppin' was able to score in good time for Steve Harris. Did a great job up front. King Triton raced outside it all of the way. Alimony's charged home from a mile back, and Mission Control, who ran fourth, was 3 and 4 wide the entire trip. There were real good runs in that race, and I do think that's going to be a race where we're going to see a bit of depth and form out of that, but Where You Been Boppin' is certainly one to watch. And an interesting runner in the trot was Lily Stride. Now, Lily Stride, a Grade 1 winner over in the US of A, came here to Australia and, having its third run on Aussie soil, was able to score her first win here. She's a winner of over $700,000, Simon, so you can see the prize money there that she was able to annex over in the USA, and she beat the very consistent Rompers, Monarchy and Wardeen Destroyer. But as you mentioned, there was a Group 3 race last night, and it ended up being quite a boil over.
They run the corner now and run for the money. 28-3 the split, and Thunder Dance, full of running, gets about 2 lengths clear on Replaced Eye. Down the outside, Island Special, Major trying to stay on. 408 Pembroke's Passion and Double Encounter trying to wind up, but it's still Thunder Dance. It's packing plenty of power with 100 metres left to go. Replaced Eye is trying hard. It's closing in late, but it'll be too late, brother. And Thunder Dance has won the Group 3. Thunder Dance first, Camera second and third, Replaced Eye or Double Encounter. And
as you mentioned, Freddie, a boil over there at $19. Thunder Dance defeated the even money favourite Replaced Eye.
Yeah, SP, $19, paid $25.70 on the tote, led all of the way, went good time, and one of the wins for Kerry McDowell. I think that's about 53 wins for the season for the McDowell barn, and they've had a cracking season, and they'll be very proud with their efforts, of course, having picked up a Group 1 earlier in the season with Michelle Lee Mack. But they've had a good run, the McDowells, and it was Lockie Manselman and Thunder Dance winning at big odds. But fair to say, Simon, the cynosure of all eyes last night was Melton. They had their big Breeders' Crown program. It's one of the real highlights lights as we draw to the end of the season. And the man that was behind the 10.50s all night and did an absolute sterling job is Dan Malecki. And Dan, good enough to give us some time this morning. G'day, Dan.
Fred, thank you very much. Yeah, lovely to be on. It was a wonderful night last night. It's one of those nights that, regardless of how cold it is, you don't remember it for the nippiness in the air and the poor weather which we had at one stage. It was really exciting. In fact, I made the statement at the end of the night, the racing on the Friday night and the Saturday night, collectively, that's the best racing, the most competitive racing, the most dramatic and emotional racing I've seen at Melton, at Tabcorp Park, in its entirety, since its inception. It was fantastic.
It had everything. Dan, just quickly, how many crowns is this for you?
Well, from year to year, it's changed. Earlier on, because it started off at Bendigo, I didn't do the first one, but I've done the majority of them since. So I might have missed the first or second one. So we're up to series 22, so I've probably done 20.
Yeah, there you go. And as you said last night seemed to have everything right from the get-go. It was a great start for E&M Stride, Emilio and Mary Rosati. I just mentioned that they had a win at Menangle with Lily Stride, but they picked up the first two group ones driven by Anthony Butter. Was a good start for Anthony. Liberty Stride won the three-year-old Phillies trot, and Ultimate Stride the two-year-old Colts and Geldings trot. And the way I was particularly taken with Ultimate Stride's performance, Dan, what did you make of it?
Oh, absolutely. Ultimate Stride, when that race was run, it was like a mini cyclone. It hit the track. I don't know if you took that notice or...
I heard the commentary and the pre-race comments. The wind had picked up incredibly and there was rain. It was just and it sort of... You sort of thought, don't tell me this is going to set the tone for the night.
Yes.
It
was a worry at that stage. I think the last quarter was like a 31-4, but they went 30.4 into the win, which doesn't sound all that fast, but it was probably like going 29 seconds that second quarter into the win, but it broke up the field, and the gaps between all the runners in the Ultimate Stride race were that of horses finishing at the end of a grand annual at Warrnambool, because they were spread out over a furlong, but the winner was dominant. Ultimate Stride, Anthony Butler that stage a double, of course. The other Stride, Emerald Stride, ran second to Liberty Stride in the first of the group one. So what a start, excuse me, for the Rosatis with and the Kiwis, because the first two winners were New Zealanders. But what turned out to be a pretty good night for the Kiwis.
Indeed. No Win, No Feed won the three-year-old fillies. The upset there was our Princess Tiffany, who sat parked. And No Win, No Feed, Dan, she's now won three group ones in the last 4 months. Quite an incredible achievement. The Bathurst Bracelet, the Breeders' Challenge at Menangle, and now the Breeders' Crown. Quite a terrific effort, but went around unwanted.
Well, our Princess Tiffany was backed into $1.08 fixed odds, I think, throughout the majority of the week, because the fields, the markets had been up all week. She was about $1.20, and then on the night just plunged in further with the expectation that she'd be able to lead and dominate. But while she won and looked like she was back on track in her semi-final, it didn't remind me of the Our Princess Tiffany that we knew of 6 to 12 months ago. It was a win, but she hustled her way to the front, and she wasn't able to do that last night. She was in trouble a fair way out, and when Miss Dryson ran up the track a bit under pressure at the 400, it created a run for No Win, No Feed, and Our Princess Tiffany, well, in the end, she just touched off a second. And as you say, No Win, No Feed, to build up that sort of a record, she's not a horse that wins out of turn. That was only her sixth win from 27 starts, and as you say, half of her wins have been at the Group 1 level now. Got the good gate speed, which counts for plenty, and look, she was on her game last night. Best Western, very good, the New Zealander. She's had a good prep, and Our Princess Tiffany, don't know where they're going to go with her now, because if she's capable of winning races, but I wouldn't say that three-year-old Phillies final was one of the strongest fields that we've seen depth-wise over the years.
No, definitely not. And as you say, I guess we are getting to the end of a long season for some of these horses, and maybe that a factor as well, Dan.
Yeah, look, you're probably right. That is the case. You see that a lot at this time of the year, don't you? But in that particular race, you had a horse like Miss McGonagall who ran fourth. It was a flashing fourth. It was 200 to 1. One more stride, it would have run second. Now, on its form, this preparation, it's been, I say laboring in a lower graded race, it's put three wins in a row, but her record's 32 starts for five wins. She's come off a seventh, an eighth, and a sixth against some better opposition, and here she is, just a nose away from finishing a place at Group 1 Company. I think we've got to put it into perspective, and while no win, no feed has got away with it, and her record in the Group 1s is very good, there might be room for something to step up now once they're turning 4 years of age.
Absolutely. Now, the most controversial aspect of last night was the three-year-old Trotters race, and all cashed up, was placed first past the post, and a couple of strides before the line just galloped, and Kratos was able to finish on into second spot. Now, there was a bit of speculation as to whether there'd be a protest, and as it turned out, there was, and the protest was upheld, and Dan, I guess, given the nature, Group 1, the emotion, all the controversy surrounding it, what did you make of the ultimate decision, and Kratos gets the Group 1?
Yeah, look, it was in the balance. There's no doubt about that. I thought that Glenn Craven did everything he would have been asked to do when all cashed up had broken. He looked like he restrained to the maximum control that he could give, and the horse was clearly under restraint. Come back to them. Official winning margin was a nose, and Kratos ends up getting it on protest. If you had to ask me, how do you think it'll go beforehand? Mm-hmm. I'm caught somewhere between thinking about what I believe would probably be the right result and trying to think on behalf of the stewards as to how they would see it. I was leaning the way of dismissed. I'm sure I'm not alone, but I'm also in the corner of many other people that if there's a rule that's clearly black and white that says if your horse breaks for more than consecutive strides in the last 100 metres, it should be a no-brainer and then make it easier for the stewards. But that rule does not exist. And while it doesn't exist, we're going to get conjecture over decisions such as last night.
The nose margin, Dan, probably worked in Kratos' favour.
Look, it may have, but a lot of people, and I remember the same race last year, Cavalli Clichy won it. It broke similarly. Its winning margin ended up being a neck, but it wasn't restrained to the same level that this horse was restrained last night, and I think anyone that remembers the two races can use it as a guide, and there were different results because the protest was dismissed last year, but look, that added to the drama of the night, and as I said, the emotion at the start with TCB McRae winning and Greg Sugars, the emotion at the end of the night, the Glenn Craven saluting after getting a double, after initially losing a Group 1, look, it had it all, and the stewards played their part. There were two protests last night. One was six against fourth, and it was upheld. And of course, this one, the second versus first in the Group 1, which was upheld as well.
Now, of course, the three-year-old Colts and Geldings tends to be a showcase race on any feature race calendar. And we've actually got your description of the three-year-old Colts and Geldings final taken out by Max Delight.
Off the back in 26.8, and the leader is Max Delight, 4 metres in front. Demon Delight's ended up dropping in behind it from Lock and Varad. Leader going well, now going for home, Max Delight. 5 metres in front of Demon Delight. Then came Lock and Varad, out to play Malcolm's Rhythm. Leader is Max Delight. It's 4 metres in front of out to play. Demon Delight can't get to it. Still in front, Max Delight, out to play. He's going to dive late, but it won't get there. And Max Delight went all the way. Max Delight won it from out to play. It's a close go for third. On the outside,
a
running a big race,
Dan,
Malcolm's
Max Delight. Todd McCarthy picked up his second Group 1 for the night, and so he picked up both the three-year-old finals. Max Delight, just a real handy racehorse who's just really matured with a bit of age throughout the season.
And he's got so much speed, and Todd McCarthy was able to maximise the greater use of that speed by going that 26.8 down the back straight. Of course, there was a bit of wind about. At different stages through the night, it was windier, but they had wind assistance down the back, so those third quarters were often a bit quicker than what some of the final quarters were, especially in the first half of the program. But he drove it a treat. It got a pretty good run. It was reeled off a very fast last half mile, and as it turned out, it was simply too slick. There were some good runs in behind. Obviously, out the play was very good. It took a while to really react once it was taken off the bit, running that very fast sub-27 second quarter. I thought Demon Delight, look, probably better last week. I thought it had its chance, certainly to run the place, and then it got a bit tired late. The winner was just too good, aided by the draw, Speedy Horse, and like you said, it's matured. It was at its peak for that race, and as it turned out, it was simply too sleek.
Absolutely. Now, a good mark of any racehorse or any of any code is the ability to accelerate. And the acceleration was there last night when Be Happy Mac kicked right away from them. Super effort and probably one of the wins of the night given the way it was taken on and just shot away at the top of the lane for Alfred.
Oh, 27-7 first quarter when it was working hard to get around Zeus Bromac and then to come home. The way he did, and look, I haven't watched the replay yet, but fresh in my mind is that acceleration from the top of the straight when it's like he pressed a button on a turbo. You've called enough races, Fred, to see horses accelerate. But this horse accelerated like it had another motor at the top of the straight. It was quite extraordinary. It was thrilling to watch. He's emerged towards the back end of this season as a star. If he can come back as a three-year-old with what he's showing at the end of his two-year-old preparation, by goodness, they're going to find it difficult to get near him.
Sky's the limit. And just to wrap up, Dan, Margita dominated the season pretty much and did what we expected her to do last night.
Yeah, she's Little Miss Professional, isn't she? She had the gate, the barrier draw to dominate the race, and that she did. And look, there was never a moment of concern. She just goes about her business. Sometimes she doesn't look over-dominating, but she just does enough. The picket fence is building next to her name, and again, she just goes from strength to strength. I really do like the second and third horses going forward. Yolanta and Stars by the Beach is a lovely looker. I think you'll find that as they get into their three-year-old years, they will develop as a really good type. But that doesn't mean Magida's going to stop improving either. They've had a wonderful season. The two big group one, I suppose they're all big, but the $300,000 finals for the two-year-olds, and it was Emma Stewart training the double in the two two-year-old features. With Margita, which I call Little Miss Professional, and yep. Be Happy Mac, who I now refer to as the Jet.
The Jet, very well and very apt. And, good, as you mentioned earlier, the emotion when Glenn Craven and Ed and Galino won the Phillies final with I'm Ready Jet after the disappointment that happened earlier in the night. So all round, Dan, it was a big night. Brilliant effort behind the 10.50s, as always, and we appreciate you giving us some time this morning to recap what was a cracking night. And out of the meeting, you'd say, going forward, you're most excited, seemingly, about Be Happy Mac.
Oh, you would have to be, wouldn't you? Just the acceleration, the performance in itself, starting from barrier 13, running those really exceptional times, it left you wanting more at the end of the night. And knowing that there are some stars of the future coming forward. And look, I'm sure you'd be just as excited as me if you know that he's going to be coming up for the New South Wales Derby or any of those sort of features, which I'm sure is going to be on the card.
They're
the sort of horses that excite us all.
Absolutely. Dan, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you. You too, Fred.
All the best. Dan Malecki, Simon, the best in the business, and he was on song last night with some great broadcasts of those finals. And, we saw the highs and the lows in some cases for one stable who won a Group 1 and then lost it in the stewards' room and then picked one up later, and the excitement of those performances of the Emma Stewart horses. And doubles, of course, to Alfred, McCarthy and Butt at the highest level, Anthony Butt. So big night for them, big night all round, and that's us for Pacing Rewind today.
Thank you very much, Fred. We'll catch you next week.
All the best, Simon.
It's 11 minutes to 11.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
Michael Curley from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is with me. Mick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. How are you, mate?
Not too bad. It was all about the West last night. Had the big match in the AFL with the Eagles taking on Hawthorn. Unfortunately, things didn't go well there for the Eagles. But at Cannington, we had a massive night of greyhound racing.
Mate, we did. And whilst you said that the West Coast Eagles didn't have a lot of luck, but the locals had plenty to cheer about at Cannington, actually winning both the distance and the sprint finals.
Well, we thought we might have a listen first of all to the sprint final, Mick, which was taken out by Premium Share.
Hold your breath. The night of glory, they're ready. Racing, jumping quickly near the inside. Good odds. Harada also showing speed. Black Opium, Premium Share to the outside. Hello Rhonda, then followed by Dinah Dave. Campini up on the inside. Silver Stunners last. Oh, there's trouble up in front. Going the lead, Good odds. Harada in second place was Premium Share. Eight lengths behind them was Hello Rhonda, and then followed by Campini. Along the back they go. Good odds. Harada still by two. Premium Share needs to dig deep. The WA Star, it's New South Wales. Good odds. A Premium Share up on the inside. Here he comes, the WA Star. Premium Share. Yes, you beauty. Premium Share's beaten Good odds Harada. Third in Dinah Dave, then followed by Silver Stunner. Behind them was Black Opium along with Hello Rhonda and Campini. And WA does it again.
Yeah, good call there at the Sprint Championship final last night. Mick taken out by Premium Share and trainer Chris Halt.
They're fantastic. Well, they do get a bit excited about a local victory, and good on them. Premium Share, yeah, it was very impressive winning the state final at WA. And again, same story as the caller, Pete O'Neill, said. A bit of problems on the first turn. Premium Share, Good Odds Harada both got through unscathed, and Good Odds Harada actually looked like it was a good chance heading out of the back. Looked like probably hold on, but Premium Share dug deep, got the rails run, and got the local victory. And yeah, congratulations to all involved, particularly also Frank Hurst with Good Odds Harada. Travelling across the country is never an easy thing, and went over there, trialled well, got into the field, and ended up running second in a nationals final, which is great credit to Frank and his team.
And in the distance national championship final, Tornado Tears was there for Robbie Britton, but couldn't beat the local Reedy's runner.
Yeah, it just seems to struggle a bit in big races over there. I remember earlier in the year in the Galaxy final, winning, I think, $1.12 or $1.15 favourite, and after breaking the track record in the heat and couldn't get it done in the final, struck trouble everywhere. Bit of the same story again, but you're going to get that with Tornado Tears. He's going to be back in the field. He's going to be looking for a rails run. And if it's not there, he can tend to get into trouble. And that's always a problem in terms of if you're taking the short odds about Tornado Tears. But credit where it's due. You know, Christine Bennett's Reedy's runner got on the bunny, and away it went. And Tornado Tears, as it always does, he rallied late and stormed home and finished second. And again, another great success for New South Wales, finishing third for Lecce Nero, John and Minnie Finn, Stayer, following on the Association Cup back in Easter. Yeah, I think it was Easter, April from memory. Picks up another placing in a big race. So well done to all involved. And, of course, Simon, also, it wasn't just the racing. It was a big three-day carnival over there with symposiums and talks and chats and so forth. And it culminated as well, apart from the racing last night, with an awards night on Friday night, a gala event. At the awards night, Orson Allen, the Victorian, which has now actually been retired, was crowned Greyhound of the Year. A good night for New South Wales. Chicken Estacada, who just continues to throw winners, was named Dam of the Year. New South Wales owned Fernando Bale was named Sire of the Year. And Zipping Bailey, I think anyone who saw that run or heard that call from Tim Newbold, the Golden Easter Egg race, it was actually Run of the Year. So, as I said, fantastic night. Congratulations to all involved. And another Nationals Carnival is done and dusted.
So that was what was happening on the western part of the country. On this side of the country, Mick, we're about to get into the TAB Million Dollar Chase Series, and it kicks off next Saturday.
It does indeed. Everyone's anticipating this. There's been a lot of build-up. Finally, we're going to get to the races. Less than a week now. Next Saturday night, the series begins with heats up at Gunnedah. A lot of anticipation about this, particularly with the news that Jack Smith, Ferrell Frankie's trainer, was considering taking the dog to Gunnedah for that first round of heats. And Simon, we've got a bit of a guest to have a chat to about Ferrell Frankie.
Well, what better man to get on the line from Gunnedah than Dan Rousey, our Gunnedah caller. He joins us now. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, lads. And, it's mouthwatering to actually see the Ferrell go around yesterday at Gunnedah and to think that it is actually a reality that he's going to make his way to Gunnedah to contest these heats, which is fantastic.
Dan, Jack Smith obviously said that he's the type of dog that doesn't matter what track he goes to, he seems to handle it. But it, from all reports, it looked pretty impressive, and that time was simply stunning.
Oh, the time was unbelievable in comparison. He's a very fast dog, and I know that he's not the quickest to begin in races, and he's going to have to manoeuvre his way through a full field, obviously, but he
took care of the track record yesterday like it was nothing. And he went round the track like he'd been round there a million times. Like there was a cigarette paper between him and the running rail. Like he just railed like an absolute champion and never fazed one little bit at all. You would think that it's a little bit narrow, the track heading through the past the winning post to through the catching pen, and he handled it like an absolute dream. And the only way he'll be beaten next week is bad luck.
Mate, I guess he's that kind of dog that, as you said, he's slow to begin, so he'll probably be, you know, third, fourth, somewhere around there, out of the box ahead of the first turn. But he just has that sense and ability to know where the runs are, to be able to stay balanced and just power home and get past the other dogs. That performance yesterday, 29.82, the track record stands at 30.19. So it's now more than five lengths he's gone quicker than the track record. That's going to be something to see next Saturday night in the heats.
Yeah, well, to put it, there was five trials yesterday over the 5.27, and four of the records, if they didn't equal the record, they broke the record. So that's quite amazing. The track was in fantastic condition yesterday, and it was amazing to see that those dogs that turned up, Peter Carr showed up with two of his dogs, Charlie Casey and Jimmy Casey, who were fantastic chasers in their own right. And one of Peter's actually equaled the track record, and another one of his dogs broke the track record as well. So it was a fantastic morning at the trials yesterday to see those good dogs compete at Gunnedah.
Dan, is there a bit of a buzz up there? I was up there previous week for a bit of a launch, and there seemed to be a buzz around town in terms of this big event that's coming next Saturday and the quality of dogs that potentially will turn up for those heats.
Yeah, no, there's a big buzz between all the participants in the whole Northwest, not only ones that train dogs, but just, you know, the average punter. Like, people will say, oh, yeah, we're going to head to Gunnedah and watch the feral to be able to see him in real life. Is it true that he'll come? And nobody could really have answered that until Jack actually showed up yesterday and trialled him. So he's all but in the race. We'll just have to wait and see for the box draw to come out now, but there's certainly a big vibe around the whole area up here. To think, go back like two or three years ago, we were racing for $300 here in the area, and now we've got a tab track that races 22 meetings a year, and we're racing for tab class money, and now we've got the first heat of a $1 million race, and to attract a Group One dog like Feral Frankie is just—it's amazing. It's mind-boggling.
It's going to be the perfect way to kick off the Tab Million Dollar Chase Series next Saturday night. And best of luck on the night calling, and best of luck to Feral Frankie and all the other dogs that do head to Gunnedah for that first night of heats.
Yeah, it should be a great night. Even there was one of the local dogs yesterday trialled and actually beat the record by a hundredth of a second as well. So it's good that the locals aren't actually scared off by Feral Frankie. I thought it may have stopped getting so many heats, like Jack coming out and saying he was coming to Gunnedah, but the plenty of the locals, they're not afraid to take him on. There's one owner of a dog in the area, the Coonabarabran track record holder, Peanut Brittle. One of the owners, he said it'll take more than Feral Frankie to scare him off a shot at the local shot in a $1 million race. So, and then you've got the likes of Charmaine Roberts with Caitlin Keefe, the winner of last year's Blacktop. So it's really mouthwatering to think what these heats could bring next week, and looking forward to the box draw coming out during the week, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And as you said, Dan, the reality is there's four that get through out of the final into the semi-final. So you've got a fair chance. You may not beat Feral Frankie, but there's three other spots to get to the semis.
And once you get through that, the heat stage, you're through to the next stage. Like, you're basically a step away from competing at $1 million. So it really is a good stepping stone for sure.
As I said, Dan, it'll be a great night. Thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck next Saturday night.
No worries, guys. Thanks for that, and been a pleasure. Good luck.
Simon, it's very exciting times, but it's not the only thing that's happening in greyhound racing in New South Wales at the moment. We had the heats of the Blacktop up at the Gardens last Friday night, and there was four fantastic heats there. The star of the heats was Jason McKay's Aston Duke, which ran the quickest of the night, 29.37. The other heat winners were Black Forge, who defeated Mystic Riot, Sheba's Dream, it beat iRock and Good Odds Buddy, Good Odds Harada's litter brother. It also got the cash as well. So that final is going to be a good final next Friday night. The market there, we've got Aston Duke 250, Black Forge 350, Good Odds Buddy 6, and Mystic Riot and Jamella Jet won the reserves at $7. So it.